Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming from Manna Teacher Ministry. I just want to say God bless you, and we're going to get right into the Word. I thank God for you listening in tonight. Praise God. I just pray that God would add a blessing to the reading of His Word and that you would be blessed through this ministry. Father, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I give you glory and I give you praise. I worship you, Lord. And God, I just continue to pray, God, for your people, God, that you are leading to listen to this broadcast, that they will be blessed, that the seed will be sown on good ground, and, Father, that it will produce fruit 100-fold. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. God bless you, saints. We're coming to you tonight out of Romans chapter 15, and I thank God for my pastor, Pastor Corey Hambrick, tonight in Bible study because he preached on the gospel. And, you know, the Holy Ghost is one spirit, and God just dealt with my heart. I was supposed to teach on the second death tonight, which I will get back into that probably this Sunday. But I wanted to talk about the gospel because it was something that was burning in my spirit, amen. But if you go to Romans, he preached out of Romans tonight, chapter 15. And I want to go to Romans chapter 15. We're going to start in the 15th verse. Amen. And the Bible says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering to the gospel of God." We're going to preach tonight about the gospel of God. Praise the Lord. Just a moment. Now, we're preaching about the gospel of God, and the Bible says that Paul said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Now, we know this is Paul talking about his ministry and how he got saved on the road to Damascus, and how God, Jesus Christ, told him he was going to be called to suffer for the ministry that he had. Amen. But the Bible says here that he should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to know what the gospel is. As my pastor was teaching tonight, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection, was the birth, the death, because you have to be born in order to die, the birth, that Jesus Christ came to the earth, the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. He came to the earth. He left heaven because the Bible says in the Old Testament that he said, "Prepare me a body." Amen. And the Bible says that the blood of bullocks and goats cannot take away sin. It just covered sin until the time that Jesus Christ came. It pointed to the cross, amen, that Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, because as we said before, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So all the way in the Old Testament, God always talked about the shedding of blood and the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had to come to the earth to die for the sins of mankind. The Bible says, by the disobedience of one, many became sinners. By the obedience of one, many shall be saved. Amen. So the Bible says here, Paul is saying that he was a minister of Jesus Christ. He is a minister of Jesus Christ, ministering the gospel of God. And this is one part of the gospel. And everything that Paul preached, as we shall see tonight, it was in some way, shape, or form referring back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul said here that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So one thing that we see here about the gospel, it makes your offering acceptable to God. Praise the Lord. Now, you remember Cain and Abel. Remember Cain and Abel. God told Cain that his sacrifice was not acceptable because he brought the fruit of the earth. The Bible says he was a farmer, so he brought the fruit of the earth. But Abel was a shepherd, amen? So he brought a blood sacrifice, and the Bible said his offering was acceptable. But remember when God told Cain killed Abel, God told him, if your offering is acceptable and you do good, he said, but if not, then sin lieth at the door. In other words, sin was waiting to overtake Cain, and that's why God had to put a mark on him and send him out, amen, from his presence, because he had killed his brother. But the Bible says that his offering was not acceptable. But here in verse 16, when in Romans chapter 15, the Bible says that the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we're going to read in verse 17, and Paul said, "I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things that pertain to God." See, Paul only gloried in the things that pertain to God. He took no glory in the flesh. And that's another thing. You cannot glory in the flesh. God said that he turns away from a proud look and a haughty spirit. You have got to walk humbly with the Lord. Amen. That's what the Bible says. But the Paul said here, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things that pertain to God. Verse 18, he said, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. So here he says again that the Gentiles became obedient by word and by deed. And look at verse 19. This is one of my key verses. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. So Paul is saying here that the gospel, the Gentiles were obedient by word and deed, but also through mighty signs and wonders. You have to remember, these verses were written in the form of a letter. We have them separated by verses, but when you read this chapter, you need to put it all together because it was a letter. Amen. It was a letter that man divided up into verses, but the Bible was originally written as a letter. So if you read it all together, it says, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ have not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Lithium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now here Paul again is talking about the gospel of Christ. He said, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So that lets you know that you can preach the gospel, but not fully preach the gospel. And as we know, there are a lot of preachers right now that are not fully preaching the gospel of Christ, and that is to their shame. Amen. But the Bible says that Paul said, I have fully preached. Now, we're going to talk about what does he mean when he said fully preach the gospel of Christ. Amen. Because that means you can halfway preach it, or you can just give a little bit, just enough to entice, amen, people, to make them think that you're preaching the whole word, pure, unadulterated word of God, when you're not. Amen. But the Bible says, Paul said, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And these are things that I strive to fully preach the gospel of Christ. Verse 20, Paul said, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel. This is what he's talking about still, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Hallelujah. Paul said, I am not striving to preach the gospel where Christ was named already, because he was an apostle. An apostle goes around and starts churches or takes the gospel to different places where it have not been preached before. So Paul said, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. I just love to read these writings of Paul. He said, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, these are people that never heard the gospel, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Amen. So this is talking, it was a prophecy in the Old Testament that he's quoting from the book of Isaiah. He said, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. That's talking about the gospel being revealed. And as my pastor was talking tonight, he hit on a verse that talked about Jesus Christ being revealed, amen, in you. The Bible says here in Romans 15 and 22, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Paul was hindered. See, when you fully preach the gospel, the enemy sets out to hinder you from doing the work of God. And God has to really, really, really open up doors for you when you want to fully preach the gospel, because that means people are going to get delivered. People are going to come out of the kingdom of darkness that we talked about the other day. They're going to come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ and his dear son. We talked about, we laid the foundation already. We talked about the invisible world. We talked about faith, amen, being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That means that God, who is invisible, you know, we have limitations. We talked about that, how we have limitations because we are in a physical world. But God is not limited by the physical world. So you can take the limits off when you talk about God. If you can just think outside of the box and stop putting God, confining God into a small area of your life, that fits into the physical realm when God is so much more than this physical stuff. The Bible says that the things that were made were not made by things that do appear. That scripture taught me so much because it let me know that God, who we cannot see, made everything that is in the physical realm. The Bible says he spoke it into existence. He said, let there be, and there was. So everything that takes up matter, amen, and takes up space is matter. That's the one thing you learn in science. I had that in school this week, the simple statement. If it takes up space, it's matter. So God is not made from the physical realm. Amen. God is made from the invisible realm. So God spoke, and the physical realm came into existence. You and I were made by an invisible God. So that means that we are made in his image. There are things in us that are not visible to mankind. There are things in us that you cannot see, you cannot hear, you cannot touch with the physical realm. You cannot touch your soul. You cannot take it out of your body and give somebody your soul. You cannot put your soul in a physical container and say, here, this is my soul, because it exists in the invisible realm. Anything that is in you that is invisible, it is eternal as well. Everything, and the Bible teaches us this, all the invisible things that are within mankind are eternal from eternal God. The Bible says that God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. So that means that your soul is from God, and God is eternal, so your soul is eternal. That's why God told Adam and Eve, the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die, because he was not talking about a physical death. He was talking about your soul death. Amen. He was talking about the part of you that is real, the most important part of you, I'm trying to find words to express what God has given me tonight. The very essence of you, the essence of your being is in your soul. It's not in this physical body. It's not able to be contained in this physical world. Your mind, amen, is part of your soul. You cannot take your thoughts and put them into a physical container and say, here, this is my thoughts. You cannot take your will. You cannot take your emotions. All of this is invisible in your soulless realm. Your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, your will, all of this exists in your soulless realm, which is invisible. And these are things that you're going to take into eternity, your ability to feel pain, whether in heaven or hell, hell, because there's no pain in heaven. But your ability to feel pain, you're going to take that into eternity if you don't know Jesus and you haven't accepted him as your personal Savior. You have to accept his sacrifice for you. You have to receive him as your Lord and Savior. You have to love him with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your being, Jesus said. All of that was to make a point to let you know this is what you're going to have to do to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said you have to be worthy to enter in to the kingdom of heaven. Many scriptures he taught us that we have to be worthy to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So we're going to teach about that again, but let's get back into the word here. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is his death, burial, and resurrection, and that is what we are preaching about, and that is what is going to make people free. Free man from sin. The Bible says, for which cause also I have much been hindered from coming to you. We talked about that. But having now no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. Let's go on. Amen. We're going to run reference on a few verses in the next 10 minutes and just talk about some things. But the Bible says in verse 15, and we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians verse 9. And I need to go back to my main verse, which is Romans 1 and 15. Romans 1 and 15 is the main verse for tonight. And Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, Paul was saying here, I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the fact that Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died, he was born, he died, he was resurrected. Amen. That is the gospel. The power is in the resurrection. Amen. Because Many have died, but nobody was resurrected with the body, the new body that we're going to have. Amen. There was nobody. All the other religions, they have people that die all the time, but you don't hear them talking about them coming back in the resurrection with a new body. But because Jesus Christ is the only one that came back, and he came back, the Bible says he's kind of a first fruits from the dead. So that means that we, as he are, the Bible says, we shall be. Amen. So that means that the body that he has, the body that he was resurrected with, is the same body that we're going to have one day. Amen. And when Jesus Christ come back for our church and transform us, as the Bible says, we shall all be changed. We shall not remain, but we shall all be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. Amen. And the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise. In Thessalonians chapter 5, it talks about the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. Amen. But the Bible says here, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So the first thing I want you to know, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That means that you can be saved through hearing the preached word of God. Amen. But you have to believe that Jesus Christ to save you. Amen. Remember that I'm reminded of a story about the man who his friends brought to Jesus to heal. And they lowered him down through the roof. Amen. But there was another story in man that I'm trying to get to, the one where Jesus Christ, the Bible says he healed the man. But before he healed the man, he said, thy sins are forgiven. And the people that were standing around said, who is this that can forgive sins? And Jesus Christ heard them in his mind and his spirit. He heard them. And he said, which is easier to say? And this scripture really taught me something. He said, what is easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. You know, that scripture perplexed me for a long time because I didn't understand the difference between the spiritual realm and the natural realm, the spiritual man and the natural man. Jesus said, which is easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven? That deals with the spiritual man. The spiritual man's sins need to be forgiven. That's why you cannot go to be with God unless your sins are forgiven. Amen. You have to ask God to forgive you for your sins. But he said, what is easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven, or arise, take up thy bed and walk. Now, people that are in the natural are just looking at things through the natural realm or through these physical walls, they're going to say, well, of course, it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven than it is to say, rise, take up thy bed and walk, because we have people that are getting their sins forgiven every day, but we don't have people getting up and walking that are paralyzed every day. So the people that are living in the natural realm, they're going to think it's easier for that man's sins to be forgiven than for him to take up his bed and walk. But Jesus flipped the coin for the spiritual-minded people to say, what is easier? A spiritual-minded person knows that it's easier for you to tell that man to take up his bed and walk than it is to say thy sins be forgiven. Why? Because your sins being forgiven require faith. Amen. Taking up your bed and walk, that's dealing with the natural realm. That's a physical miracle. Amen. There are people that have received healings that are not saved and their sins are not forgiven. But Jesus said that you might know. This is the answer that he gave them. He said that you might know that the Son of Man have power on earth to forgive sins. Arise, take up your bed and walk. So therefore he was telling those people, those doubters, amen, those Sadducees and Pharisees, he was telling them, if you can believe that, since this man got up and walked, now you can know that I have power on earth to forgive sins. Amen. So he said all of that to make a point. Praise God. But getting back into Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's talk about this gospel of Jesus Christ again. We read Romans 15 and 19. Paul says in Romans 15 and 29, I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So here again, he talks about the fullness of the blessing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Or preaching the full truth. Paul did not halfway preach anything. Amen. Even his blessing, he said he was coming in the fullness of it. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. And the Bible says, and we're going to start at the beginning of the paragraph, which I like to do. We're going to start in verse, I guess we'll start in verse 12. Well, let's read verse 11. The Bible says, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are we not rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. So here again, he's talking about the gospel of Christ, and he said he didn't want to abuse his power in the gospel. Amen. So he was talking about carnal things. He was talking about his needs being met, like a lot of these preachers talk about. You know, they want you to give so that they can have more, you know, to do more for the gospel, and they buying all these houses and cars and living in mansions and buying airplanes and stuff. That's an abuse of the gospel, amen? The Bible says, Paul said, I do not want to abuse my power in the gospel, amen? He said, I don't want to hinder the gospel of Christ, because somebody's going to be looking at the money that you're taking from these people rather than looking at the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. And that's going to be a roadblock or a stumbling block. And Jesus said, it's better for you to tie a millstone around your neck and be cast into the sea than to offend one of my little ones. Amen. So let's keep on reading. We're going to read in 2 Corinthians 2 and 12. Paul says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and the door was opened unto me of the Lord. Now here, the reason why I preach this is because Paul said a door was opened unto me of the Lord. When you are preaching the full gospel of Jesus, Paul said, when I came to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. God has to, and he will, open up doors for you when you are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to say is God will back you up. And that's one thing he spoke to me tonight while I was sitting in church taking notes from my pastor. God was speaking to me, and he said, I am obligated to back up any ministry that is preaching the full gospel of Jesus Christ. God said, I will be there for that person. I will bless that ministry. I will give them everything that they need, because that's what it's all about, getting the gospel out. Amen. Anybody else that's doing anything other than getting the gospel message out and obeying the word of God, I know we're supposed to give. I know we're supposed to, the church's place of refuge. I know we're supposed to, Jesus said, when you did it unto the one least of these, you've done it unto me, going to prisons. I know we're supposed to do all of that stuff in the church. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is doing anything that takes you away from the gospel. As we shall see, Paul said, I'm surprised that you have been so quickly removed from the gospel. Amen, but we're going to get to that. But he said, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me. He said, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from there into Macedonia. He said, now thanks be unto God, which always causes of us to triumph in Christ. Here again, God is talking about we have the victory. Triumph means to triumph in Christ. He said, always causes of us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. Amen. So here again, we see Paul talking about having the victory, amen, through preaching the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, the Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So here Paul is talking about the light being blinded. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Remember I told you about your spiritual mind. Amen. Your mind is part of your soul. Amen. And the Bible says that the minds of the people that don't believe in Jesus has been blinded, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Remember one of the disciples said, show us the Father. Jesus said, have I been such a long time with you? And Thomas, I think it was Thomas that said that. He said, and you said, when you see me, you see the Father. Amen. The Bible says here that Jesus Christ is the image of God. Amen. Let's read in 2 Corinthians 9 and 13. Paul says, while by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. So he's talking about giving right there. He's talking about the people that, through the gospel of Christ, they were very liberal givers. He said, liberal distribution unto them and all men. Galatians 1 and 7. The Bible says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you who will pervert the gospel of God. Now, I want to go to Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to close on this in just the next few verses. But the Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So Paul said, I'm an apostle, but I'm not called by man. He said, I'm called by Jesus Christ. I'm an apostle of God. Verse 2, he said, and above all the brethren which are with me, unto all the churches in Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might, this is a part of the gospel, preaching that Jesus Christ gave himself for the sins of the world. The Bible said God so loved the world. This is another part of the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. So the Bible says here that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins. Remember I told you he said prepare me a body. The Bible says he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of our God and our Father. So the Bible says that the gospel will deliver you from this present evil world, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6, Paul says, and this is the verse I want to get to, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, letting you know that there are many false gospels in the world. Just like there's false prophets, we talked about that. There's false apostles. There's false teachers. Amen. The Bible says there can be a false gospel. Let's talk about this for a minute. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed. So these were people that had probably just got saved not too long before. He said, you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Verse 7, he said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. So he said, even though he said moved unto another gospel, he said, but in fact, this is not another gospel. He said, they are perverting the gospel of Christ. They are perverting. How do you pervert the gospel? By not preaching the full gospel, Paul said, by leaving something out, by not preaching about the resurrection, not preaching about the power that's in the resurrection, not preaching about the fact that he died for your sins and that you need to be forgiven for your sins in order to go to heaven. There any facet of that you leave out, not preaching about the virgin birth. Amen. A lot of people don't preach about the virgin birth anymore. His birth was born of a virgin. Amen. The Bible says the power of the highest shall come upon you. That's what the angel told Mary. He said, and that thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Not preaching about the virgin birth is perverting the gospel. Not preaching about the life of Jesus, that he was sinless. The Bible says that he did not sin. Amen. The Bible says, though he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. So we have to preach that. Amen. That's the gospel of his life, his birth, his life, his death. Amen. Not preaching about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. We're having a service on Good Friday, April 3rd. A lot of churches are having services on April 3rd, the seven last words of Christ. Amen. And it's talking about his death. Amen. This is a time of the year where Easter, where we talk about the death of Christ, but we also need to make sure we include into that the gospel about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that he did. He didn't just die, but he got up. That's why I don't like to see people wearing necklaces and stuff with Jesus Christ on the cross, because he didn't stay on the cross. He got off the cross. He was buried, amen, in a cave that no man ever laid in before. And then 3 days later, he said, destroy this body, and in 3 days, I shall get up. Amen. He said, the temple shall be rebuilt. He was talking about the temple of his body. Amen. So my time is up, amen, praise the Lord. But I just want you to know, we're going to finish reading Galatians 1, Because the Bible says, Paul said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And the Bible says in verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I please men, I shall not be the servant of Christ. Amen. And we're going to close on that. God bless you. I love you. This is Evangelist Amos signing off. Good night.